Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Sammy, it's so hot out these days. You know what I mean? The weather, temperatures are spiking. It's the dead of summer.
Oh, it's boiling hot.
It's boiling hot. And you know what I would just love on these hot, hot days?
I'm thinking maybe a boat, something on the water.
I would love, you read my mind, I would love to get out on a boat. I would love to get out on a boat on these hot, hot summer days. And I think we've got a group of people who would agree with me.
I think so,
too. That would be a good thing to do. There are newest vessel heads, and boy, do we love them. We got to give them a shout out. These summer ship loving absolute angels. We have Stephen Unkles, Carissa Conrad, Miranda Lowe, Peggy Cook, Raquel Perlman, Jacob Verillo, Lindsay Cherhar, and Jesse.
Oh my wow. God, the greatest vessel heads there ever were.
A lot of people loving boats this summer, and you know what? I couldn't agree more.
Who can blame them?
Who can blame them?
Gotta love our vessel heads, and I'm also loving the newest members of Toni fucking Collette's inner circle.
Oh my goodness.
I want to say a very warm welcome. It's amazing in here. Toni's here. We're here. What more could you want?
It's a blast. It's honestly, Toni, oh, you're going to love her. You're going to love her. She's great.
And you will meet her. It's a guarantee.
You will. That is our guarantee. That is a thing that we feel comfortable guaranteeing to you.
So we want to welcome Jeffrey Range, Chris Arthur, Daniel Bayo, Adam B, Andrew R, Tessa Tran Ross, and Monica R. Welcome to the circle, baby.
Welcome to the circle. And you will be hearing from Toni. You absolutely will. Just you wait and see. We guarantee it.
And no new members of Champions for Actors Rights this week, but what we lack in champions, we make up for in vessel heads and Toni heads.
We do. And you know what? There's room for everybody on the boat, in the circle. You know, come one, come all. We love to have you.
Join our Patreon and get yourself a shout out. Maybe get yourself a bingo card. I just went to USPS today to buy stamps for some of these bingo cards.
Support the USPS.
So important to support the USPS right now. So join our Patreon and also buy some stamps.
Yeah. And those are the things that we care about most.
Love you guys. Enjoy the episode.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi everyone, welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I like watching scary movies, and I like telling my scared friend Emily about them, and also our scared friend Henley, who is not here at the moment.
At the moment, she's not here. She will be back. She is, I believe, just got to New York State, ready to make that bitch, made it all the way across the country.
Wow.
Wow. Your tunes, your music on your playlist kept her company. I bet if I know Henley, that's all she listened to for however many hours it took her to get there on repeat. So thank you for that. But it's just us for right now. And so what's up with you, Sammy?
Well, this week I have a rant and a rave. I would like to rant about HBO Max and Roku not being able to reach a deal and me having to watch HBO on my computer as if I'm at work. It makes me incredibly mad.
No, thank you.
I have to sit at my desk and watch TV. There's a show coming out soon called Lovecraft Country that I'm really excited for. And
looks cool.
I just can't believe that. I have to watch it on my computer. I'm really, really upset about it. And I think both HBO and Roku think that customers are going to be mad at the other one more. And I just, any Roku or HBO Max representatives, I want you to know that I'm mad at all of you equally.
We're mad at all of you equally. And I know you're listening, HBO Max and Roku executives. we're mad at all of you.
Yeah, so if you could make some changes before the premiere of that show, that would be greatly appreciated.
Do it for Sammy.
Make it happen. So that's my rant. But a rave that I have is that our dear friend Kathleen's show comes out for us tomorrow when this episode airs. It will be out. It is called
It's already out, listeners.
It's called Teenage Bounty Hunters. It's on Netflix. You know Kathleen from our Cape Fear episode. If you don't, go back and listen to it. It's a great episode. We love Kathleen so much.
You'll love her. We love her. You'll all love her. Or you already do if you're smart.
So I'm just really, really excited for that. And it's getting me through my anger at HBO. So
hell yeah. Netflix is on Roku. Roku executives. You could do that. Hell yeah. It's going to be so fucking great. And she's the coolest. And she just absolutely deserves this. And it is very, and you know, it just is great when someone who is cool and smart and works really hard achieves a thing that they deserve. It's great.
I love it. You love to see it.
You love to see it. We love to see it. We will love to see it. We'll all be seeing it, and we're all going
to
love
it. And I think you guys will also love to see it.
You'll love to see it. You definitely will.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Emily? What's going on with you?
Well, I'm very excited for our friend Kathleen's show. I'm excited for Henley to get her butt settled into freaking New York City so that she can be back. And other than that, I thought I'd give our listeners an update on my kitten situation.
Oh, yes, please.
For those of you who listened last week, there's a kitten living in my boyfriend's yard. We've really put in the work to build up the trust of this kitten.
Mm-hmm.
Kitten, I said last time we said maybe a calico. I think it's not. I think that he's part Maine Coon. I've done a lot of just like looking at pictures of various kittens.
Sure.
And like Google searching like this fur pattern with this, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
I think he might be part Maine Coon. And so he's probably, as I said, a little too old to just like walk right into our arms, but we've really built up our trust. Finally contacted a shelter that gave us one of those TNR traps, very humane traps, listeners. The cat's going to be just fine. But we set it up yesterday, and held the thing open so that it could just stay open, start feeding the cat in there because we've been feeding him every day so he can get used to the trap. And we're going to set it tomorrow and grab him.
Ooh.
So that we can get him fixed and vaccinated. And then we'll be able to see what his deal is. Is he too old to become accustomed to humans or not? I mean, he really likes being around us. I will say that. He just like comes over when we're outside and will sit near us. Not next to us. Doesn't let us touch him, but he just like wants to be around.
Well, that's nice. He's warming up then.
He's warming up. And he went into the trap and ate today like no problem. Didn't give a fuck. I laid like treats out to sort of draw him in. He just walked right past him, went right to the end of the trap, ate his food.
Great.
So I think we're going to have this boy tomorrow. And then we'll find out if he is in fact a boy or a girl, and it'll be fixed and all healthy, given a little clean bill of health so we can see about keeping him, because I really want to. He's so cute.
Oh my god, little war boy.
He's had many names also over the past week because he got advanced up one step from outdoor cat because we're feeding him. So right now his name is Bug, and it might stay that way because okay. I really like Bug.
All right. I saw that also one of our listeners wrote that if it was a calico, it was probably a girl, which I thought was such an interesting fact that most calicos are female. Never knew. So thank you for that. I love little
tidbits
like that. Random knowledge. Well, I'm excited for you to keep us posted on this.
Oh, you know I will.
I can't wait to find out what happens next in this saga.
Whew, it's been a saga.
But let's talk about this week's movie, which is Relic. Another new release, came out in July 2020. It was directed by Natalie Erica James, written by Natalie Erica James and Christian White, starring Emily Mortimer, Robin Nevin, and Bella Heathcote. And it's an Australian horror film. And you know who we love from Australia.
I do indeed.
We're doing something a little different this week where we are doing a crossover episode with our friends over in Australia from the Spooko podcast.
Ooh-wee! We love the boys at Spooko. We did their podcast a few months back. Really excited if you didn't listen to that episode, you're going to get to meet them. It's going to be great. Did we mention they're Australian? which, you know, pretty cool.
We love an accent. And
we love an accent.
Especially love an Australian accent.
So, listeners, I hope you enjoy this crossover episode. Thanks for bearing with us as we try out something fun and new in quarantine, because why not?
Enjoy. We're going to do Cocktail Hour and then get right into it.
Welcome to Cocktail Hour. This week's drink is a Fade to Black cocktail. This will make perfect sense once we get into the movie. The movie is as thick and dark with subtext as this drink is. You're going to need 5 fresh blackberries, 2 ounces of spiced rum, 3/4 ounce freshly squeezed lemon juice, 1/2 ounce simple syrup, 1/2 ounce pasteurized egg white, and an optional spoonful of activated charcoal powder. You're going to muddle the blackberries in the base of your cocktail shaker, add all your other ingredients, shake with ice, strain that back into the shaker, and then dry shake without ice, and then fine strain into a chilled coupe glass. This is essentially a rum sour blackened with the blackberries and activated charcoal, so you can omit the activated charcoal and it just won't be quite as black, but it'll still be delicious. Boy, do I love an egg white cocktail. I love to see it. I love to drink it. I hope you do too. Cheers.
So here we are in sunny California, all four of us. Thanks for having us, Sammy. Thanks, Em.
Oh, yeah, welcome.
What a lovely place you have here.
Truly lovely time to come here to California where things are just great. Things are great here, no worries at all.
Look, I'm just catching up with US news. I sort of tuned out in sort of around about February. Things are ticking over.
They've gotten worse.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, since February. Oh, no. Yeah. Where to begin? Things are...
Well, yeah. Let's just say, yeah, we couldn't make it to Australia this time. Well, I don't think we're allowed.
We're delighted to fly over, guys. And and sorry, we're guests on a much better organized podcast. So I shouldn't have started off in such a disorganized way. Does one of you professional people want to do it? Sammy, you should be hosting
and
driving.
No.
My name's Peach. That's my nickname. And I co-host a podcast called Spooko that you're either listening to now or... you're on the crossover Too Scary Didn't Watch version of.
Yeah, Peach, I was going to say, because we are doing a proper crossover episode, that's going to make sense on the Too Scary Didn't Watch edition, where it's going to be like, oh, that's who Peach is. On the Spooko episode, everyone's going to be like, Peach, we know who you are. We've been with you for like 50 episodes. Oh, and this is the thing I did want to say. Guys, congratulations on 50 episodes of Too Scary Didn't Watch.
Congrats back to you.
Boys, wow. Well, so we got for our listeners, and then we'll do the same for you. But for our listeners, Shag, introduce yourself.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so I'm Shag, and I co-host a podcast called Spooko with my good friend Peach. Now, in terms, you know, in the parlance, we can never get this word right, but in parlance. The vernacular of Too Scary Didn't Watch, I am the Sammy, and Peach is the Emily.
That's good.
I love this. Yes.
I also go by Silent Jenna. So this is a big reveal.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm also known as Silent Jenna.
This is the big reveal.
This is your first time hearing her.
It's been Peach the whole time. We don't have a friend named Jenna.
Surprise.
Now, obviously, you know, we do want to catch up on the news. I think the biggest news from Spooko is the fact that we still don't have a Resha sponsorship. Ba-bow.
Boo.
And for any Too Scary Didn't Watch listeners who have connections in with the Australian brewing industry, if you could reach out.
We have some, for sure. We have some listeners, for sure.
We're really hustling for sponsorship from this Australian beer called Resha's that have just released a like nostalgic throwback version. Surely the time has come. 50 episodes. What is up?
50 episodes.
It's time.
Oh, come on.
So, Sammy and Em are the wonderful guests we've got here. Could you guys introduce yourselves for the wonderful Spookonauts or whatever we're called? From
Spookonauts.
Spooko? Ooh.
We'll take it.
Hi, Spookonauts. I'm Emily. I co-host a podcast called Too Scary Didn't Watch. And for all of you listeners, I am the Peach.
Yeah, man. We're the best, Em.
Hell yeah.
I counter that. My name is Sammy. I co-host Too Scary Didn't Watch, and I am the Shag, and we're actually the best.
Interesting counterpoint. Interesting counterpoint.
That was a perfect argument, Sammy. Thank you.
One of the themes of Too Scary Didn't Watch is that Em and Sammy check in, and sometimes with their mate Henley, who's abandoned them for New York. Henley, what's up? Drive safe. that they check in to see if anything scary's happened this week. So Em, has anything scary happened to you this week apart from living in a failed state?
I mean, it's directly related to living in a failed state, Peach. I got laid off.
Oh. No!
Genuinely scary. It's
no,
a bad
that's
one.
Genuinely spooky.
It's okay. It's okay. Guys, it's the state we live in. It's a part-time job. I've got other irons in the fire. No, it was not wholly unexpected. But this is the world we live in right now. The scary thing is for lots of people who will not be so quick to get back on their feet. I am a booming podcast entrepreneur, so I will be. I'm swimming in
We're
money,
fine, baby.
We got a
Matreon.
Yes.
Oh, we got a Matreon. We're doing
shout out that
just
Matreon
fine.
Page.
Actually, that's a super good point. If you want to support Too Scary Didn't Watch, hit up their Patreon. I mean, we mean their Patreon. We're just, or is it, yeah, again, I can never pronounce it.
Patreon, it's Matreon because we're women.
That's right. Fuck the patriarchy, dudes. Let's burn it down.
But look, I just wanted to say, Em, you should be like, at least luckily you're in a place with like a really good social safety net. So there's no worrying about
so
losing a job
about
in America.
It. Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, I love to be in a truly depraved capitalistic society in times like this. It really, I feel so good. It's the scariest thing of all. So, you know, everybody in America, please keep wearing your masks. Everyone not in America, man, it must rule. And I'm really supremely jealous of your day to day.
Well, I think what's so crazy is, like, we've both passed this threshold of 50 episodes, and I think we've all come to the realization that the truly scary thing was capitalism all along.
It was capitalism all along. And, you know, there's a lot of horror movies that's the subtext, I feel. So we learned it. We learned it through horror movies, and we learned it through life.
Speaking of subtext, okay, so I'm really excited about today's horror movie that we're doing today. It's an Australian one called Relic. But
asking anyone else if they had a scary week, Shay?
I was going to say,
we are guests.
Peach,
we are guests.
Peach
here.
Does have a scary thing,
Peach,
right?
Peach seems excited to say something. Peach, did anything scary happen to you this week?
Do you need to upload something scary?
Well, now that the moment's upon me, this is quite scary because... be careful what you wish for. I think my scary one's a bit watery compared to Em's because it's about hilarious imposter syndrome and also it's very awkward to say after Em's news because I just started a new job, but in essence, it's...
Wow.
That is the worst humble nice. Brag ever.
I'm
doing badly here.
I
want to
hear your thing.
No, I feel like imposter syndrome is something most people can relate to, so let's hear it.
Terrifying.
I'm scrambling for the exits, but... In essence, I sort of came in, I'm a lawyer and I've got a bit of a profile of knowing a bit about a couple of things. And I came in heralded of like, don't worry, guys, Peach is here. He's going to give some real high quality legal advice. And things are going well for about a week and a half until someone asked me a question that I got wrong. And ever since then, I'm like, oh, fuck. Now they're going to know.
No. So Peach, hang on. So... Em just revealed her spooko news of the week was that she got laid off. Your spooko news to counter that, which you interrupted to be like, guys, we have to hear mine, was you got a question wrong at some point during the week.
My biggest fear is being a bad guest. And what I was trying to do was to do the Too Scary Didn't Watch admin, whereas you were trying to railroad in your introduction of the movie. So some of us are anxious to be good guests. And some of us just want to go and do their own thing. And I'm one of the former, Shay.
Sammy, did you have anything scary happen to you this week?
It's not going well so far. I feel nervous to follow up these two things with another work-related thing, but might as well stick with the trend. I quit a job this week, so...
Fuck that job. Yeah, man.
Quitting is the best.
I was going to say, it's not too scary. Quitting fucking rules.
It is such a good feeling, man.
It's great.
Shag, anything scary for you this week?
Like, fuck, like, I feel like we're all just really rubbing Em's nose in it by just talking about work, fun, work-related agency things.
No, it's fine, I'm fine. No, it's fine, it's fine. It's really fine.
So I had to run a workshop with, it was just scary having to run a workshop with a biscuit client.
Yeah.
In which I, well, I mean, as part of this workshop, which was kind of a brainstorm, this idea came up where at the time, you know, in the heat of like coming up with ideas and everyone's really excited, we thought it might be a good idea to be like, well, I mean, people love your biscuits. What if we made dog versions of your biscuits that their dogs could eat as well? And they were sort of like, yeah, it's probably not a cool idea for our human biscuits to also have dog versions that are exactly the same. And I mean, it wasn't scary. It just probably wasn't the best suggestion anyone's ever made in a workshop that
and
I was
quick
running.
Question. For our listeners, are we talking cookies?
Oh, yes, sorry. Yes, oh, I'm so sorry. Yes. We are talking cookies. Yes.
We're talking cookies. Okay, I just want to make sure, you know, and that's why we do this. This is the joy of cross-cultural podcasts.
I am cookies super biscuits, excited. I am super excited to see, because there's a couple of specific things I think we do want to ask you as we go along. But what I was saying before, and Peach, you are right. I'm sorry. I wasn't being a good guest. jumping back into my like spooko, like straight man role is
stay
to just move
lane.
Things forward.
Stay in your lane.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so I wanted to introduce the film because we were talking about subtext, and I don't think, and I've seen both Jordan Peele films. And I still don't think I've ever seen a horror movie with more, like, capital S subtext than the movie we're doing today. Like, it could yeah. not be more subtexty. And in fact, yeah. I think there are moments in the film where they actually go, this is what the film's about, by the way. Like, there are almost, like, a like knowing winks to the camera being
like yeah, straight to camera, like, and this is what we mean.
So today we are doing a film. It's an Australian film from this year called Relic. Now, one of the things that I really like that, you know, Too Scary Doesn't Watch, Too Scary Didn't Watch does is, you know, first of all, we talk a little bit about trivia of the film before we watch the trailer and before we get into the recap. And there are some really interesting trivia points about this film. I don't know if anybody else has some, but
I was
might...
going to say, no, I'm glad that you have some because I couldn't find any. So take it away.
All right. Okay. So... I think one of the more interesting things that I wasn't expecting, it's an Australian film. It's an Australian film, but it's co-produced by Jake Gyllenhaal.
Whoa.
Had no idea.
Which I don't know if production means anything, but when I was looking into that, I was like, that's a weird thing. The yeah. second thing is it's a film that's heavily about dementia. So it's pretty much mm-hmm. mainly about this old woman in the film. Mm-hmm. Her name is Robin Nevin. And as
Hang
well
on,
as
like, the, like named after the actor.
So no. Her name is Robin Nevin, and get this. Okay, so this probably doesn't make as much sense to you know listeners outside of Australia, but not only was she in probably the most beloved Australian film of all time in Australia, called The Castle, which is it's almost seen as like if there was a national anthem in film form. And, you know, that would be our cultural version of it. It's just the most well-loved. Peach, would you agree with
Ours
that?
Ours is Top Gun.
Top Gun. I was going to say Priscilla, Shag. I don't know. Isn't Priscilla a movie?
I don't think. Do you really think, like, you know, think about, like, you know, Tell Him He's Dreaming.
Muriel's Wedding. Priscilla Muriel's Wedding or probably The Castle.
Hey,
yeah, maybe.
We love some Toni Collette.
Yeah, Toni Collette's tough to get. She's pretty unfuckwithable. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm friends with someone who co-wrote Muriel's Wedding, it turned out.
Hell yeah. I love Muriel's Wedding.
Via LinkedIn, of all things. But anyway.
The Castle's a weird one because it's a very insular film. It has a lot of assumed knowledge, and that assumed knowledge is you grew up in suburban Australia in the 90s. So
it's basically uh-huh. Kath and Kim. Yes, okay. It's basically Kath and Kim, the film.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So she not only was she in The Castle, she was also in both of the Matrix sequels, but just not in the original. But then, I mean, most people agree that the sequels are far superior than the original when it comes to the Matrix trilogy.
Yes. Yes.
She did it well.
Fun fact, Matrix 2, only movie I've ever walked out of.
What? At what point did you walk out of Matrix 2?
Pretty much right in the beginning. No, actually, I think it was in the underground rave scene. That was like 10 minutes long. I was like, I hate this movie.
And Sammy's one of Keanu's biggest fans.
I have a Matrix tattoo. I have a spoon on my arm that bends.
Oh,
I love
no.
the Matrix.
That is so cool.
And I just hated the Matrix 2.
So hang on. Did you walk out of the Matrix 2 because you loved the Matrix so much and you felt like
yes.
it disrespected the legacy of the Matrix?
Yes. But to be fair, I never saw it in its entirety. So maybe it made up for it in the end. I never saw Matrix 3 either.
No, I think the consensus is that it did not.
The other interesting thing about Sammy and Australian accents and Australian films and that sort of thing is that Sammy and Em actually both have commanding and compelling Australian accents that I don't think you've heard, Shag. And so perhaps after we get through the trivia, after we get through the trailer, you guys can do the balance of the episode in character. Em, I feel like...
Oh, boy.
Sammy's is far superior, but...
I agree. I don't want to put you guys on the spot, but at some point, I kind of do want to hear your Australian accents when I get to a certain point.
I have a go-to phrase.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get stage fright now because this is my biggest fear.
I cannot wait to hear this.
This
so
will be the
badly.
Scary thing that happened to me this week.
I was going
to
say this is terrifying.
Imagine if it goes badly. Have you thought about if it goes badly?
I have.
You're if scared you can... about it going well, but have you thought about the other alternative?
Okay, so this is from an Australian reality show called Yummy Mummies. And it's my go-to phrase, and they're all bitchy pregnant women, and one of them's throwing a baby shower, and she says, "It's going to be the biggest Burberry baby shower in all of Adelaide."
Great source material, great execution.
Very
yes,
good.
10 out of 10.
I loved the lead up. We really set the stage.
thank you. My heart is pounding.
I feel like, you know what? It was pretty good. There's room for improvement. It was pretty good. But I think you're right. Giving us that context, I knew where we were, you know, shouting out plot. Like, it's always nice to shout out cities I know. So giving a shout out to Adelaide and stuff, mm-hmm. I'm like, cool, I'm there. So look, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 7 out of 10, Sammy.
Thank you. I'll take it.
7 out of 10 is not
from
bad.
An Australian. That's pretty good.
Pretty damn good.
We're hard markers, you know.
So, Em, the gauntlet's been thrown. What do you got?
Oh, gosh. Well, now I'm like, what do I say? I don't have a line.
So one of the things I was actually thinking about, it's kind of comes down to two things. So it's either how you say yeah. So you either go like, it's how you make the twang of the yeah. If you were, you know, so are you going out? Yeah, I'm going, you know, or whatever. Or it's how you say mum. So it's like, oh, yeah, I was looking after my mum the other day. And the reason why I say that is because mum comes up a lot in this film. And mom. One of the act... Oh.
It's like, sure.
Go again. That was really good. That was really good.
You did it, Em.
Thank you.
10 out of 10.
Hey.
That's a trick, Sammy. You just got to keep it short. You just got to keep it real, real short.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they're feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and 5-spice fries. Excuse me, am I a 5-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? It's such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family-friendly, low-carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready-to-eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/2scary and use code 2scary for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/2scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code 2scary so they know I sent you.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Emily Mortimer, not Australian, right? What did you think of her accent? Because I thought it was maybe not good, but it's the accent expert.
I am the accent expert. And this is something I did want to talk about. It's not super good. And there's definitely my... It's kind of like... I don't know if you've heard of the Australian actor Eric Banner, who's... Yep. He was in a couple of American films putting on an American accent. And that, to me, sounded like the worst American accent I've ever heard in my life.
I know what you're talking about.
And it feels the same way, where it's like, I get where she's trying to go with it, but there are so many times when...
She sounds British.
Yeah, she sounds British, but in a weird sort of... and not in the way that sometimes Australian people sound British when they try to, like, say their words a little bit more eloquently. Like, so, for example, if I say, like, in Australia, we don't say water, we say water. But if I say water, and all I'm doing is pronouncing it correctly, it automatically sounds British. So I feel like sometimes she probably over-enunciates where she should just casualify it as we do in Australia. But anyway, I digress.
She should have watched some Yummy Mummies, I think.
We all should. It sounds amazing.
I think we all need to watch some Yummy Mummies.
One thing I did want to say about the film, though, because, yeah, I didn't necessarily find it super scary, and I almost wasn't going to suggest it as a film until the very end, and obviously we will eventually spoil it when we get to that point in the recap, but we won't spoil it right now. But the very end made me feel things that a horror movie never really makes me feel. I was genuinely surprised. Sammy, like, without giving too much away, what did you think about the ending of Relic?
Yes, in the final scene, my mouth was open the whole time. My jaw was on the floor. I was just shocked at what I was seeing. Never seen anything like
it. I'm so excited to learn what this means.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Should we watch the trailer?
Let's watch the trailer. I meant to send it in the chat.
Trailer. Yeah, Sammy's going to send trailer. Watch the trailer. Is it? How do you say it?
Watch.
When was the last time you spoke to her?
It's been a few weeks. She called me a few weeks ago. I think she was scared. She thought someone was coming into the house. Do you know where you were, Mum?
I suppose I went out.
What's this?
I was on the property when your grandfather inherited it. His mind wasn't there in the end. You can't put Gran in a home. She can't live on her own anymore. She has to be watched.
Everything all right, Gran?
I thought this was where it got in.
Who?
Whoever it was coming into the house.
Mum, what is it?
It's here. Under the bed.
There's nothing under the bed, Mum.
Will you check for me?
Great trailer.
Oh no.
You know, we talk about Emily Mortimer, who we are not starting beef. She is a fantastic actor. Just because she can't nail the Australian accent doesn't, you know, is no strike against her record. But no, there's a point in that trailer.
No. It's a threshold test. Like you can't really say everything went fine except the accent, right? Like
it's interesting. Some people are very good at accents and others are not.
I think Michael C. Hall is that way. Michael C. Hall's accents are the worst accents I've ever heard.
Remember when he played JFK in The Crown?
Oof. Yes, I do.
Uncomfortable.
Oh. Don't know how he got cast in that.
But look, the reason why I bring this up is there's a moment in that trailer that just sums up Emily Mortimer's accent in the film where...
Yeah, she's like, you what? You fucking come to South London and you what?
But I think, because the thing is, I've never been an actor, but I can imagine there are points in it where you doubt, you get it and you feel kind of comfortable and then you come to a word in the heat of the moment and all of a sudden you're like, oh, fuck, how would you say this word? And she gets that when she says, my grandma needs... the line is, you know, grandma needs to be watched. And I think she goes, how the fuck would an Australian say watched? And she says it in a way that I think no English-speaking accent has ever said it. She sort of says, watched.
Also, that movie looked scary. That movie looked way scary. I mean, Peach, were you scared of that trailer?
Yeah.
That looks scary as hell.
How did you feel the whole way through when you were like, oh, yes, dementia allegory, I get it. And then you see the crawling, hairy sort of monster crawling along.
The sound effect of like, and then you see it at one moment of like skin peeling. They're like playing this sound effect of like, oh, God. Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah, it's not one of those trailers where the film's nothing like that. The film is basically that for an hour and a half. And mm-hmm. The best thing about this film, it goes for an hour and a half. Like every time you pause it, you're like, I'm a significant chunk through this movie. It feels that. Like progress.
Everything should be that. 90 minutes, I think.
90 minutes is the right length for any project.
Growing up in our house, we had a rule that you had to watch the first half hour of the film and then you could choose. And my mum had this idea of like, once I get them to watch half an hour of fucking Pollyanna or whatever, like they'll be hooked. And like, because it was VCR days, that I don't think MU and Sammy would necessarily have in your background, because Shag and I are very old, but you'd be watching the
We had VCRs.
VCR, so we used to call them reel-to-reel boxes, and we used to hook up one reel to one side.
I never want to know how young you think we are. I just want to let it live in the universe that you think that we weren't aware of VCRs. And I don't want to know the number, but let's just let that be the reality.
To reach your 21st birthday, Em, which you did last week, and congrats.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Many happy returns.
Thank you.
The moment 30 minutes would come down, me and my brother would stand up and leave, and it would break my mum's heart. And I don't regret it because I don't want to watch Pollyanna. And so I feel like trailers have solved this problem. It's great.
Mm-hmm. A little snippet.
That was such a heartbreaking snippet of your childhood pitch. but look, let's start the film. Because it's from the year 2000, I think, does Wikipedia do something where they don't allow synopsises uploaded until it's been out a certain while? Because I've noticed with very new films, they don't have the full plot until a little while later.
I think is Wikipedia user based? Because I think that The Rental, which we did last week on our podcast, which also came out July 2020, that does right have up. A full Wikipedia synopsis. So I think it must just be...
If someone's ready to do it?
I don't know. Kind of random. Yeah, if someone submitted one, that is correct. So, I mean, maybe we should take it upon ourselves to submit something.
It's a bit concerning, Shag, that 50 episodes in, you're asking how Wikipedia works.
I think, look, I mean, in this day and age, we all know that we've never been more susceptible to believing in conspiracy theories. I'm just glad that I'm not a QAnoner. I just happen to believe that Wikipedia tried to suppress the plots of films until people had enough time to see them.
It's their number one thing. It's the only thing that they censor is the timing of movie plots.
All right. Okay. Well, look, because... there's no Wikipedia synopsis. What I tried to do was I sat down with Relic for a second time and sort of wrote what happened scene by scene, Too Scary Didn't Watch style. Sammy, I'm going to be relying on you to help flesh out the filmic feel of this.
Love it.
But let's start, okay? So it starts with an a classic out-of-focus shot. Kind of like the start of Good Will Hunting. Like, for me, I'm like, I've seen Good Will Hunting like 80 times. So
this movie is exactly like Good Will Hunting. let's get in that headspace. It's like that.
Yes, great.
But sort of Good Will Hunting starts with this like kaleidoscope of colors. And for some reason, that's never really revealed why. And in the same way, this film starts with a spooky kaleidoscope of colors until we go into focus and we realize we're looking at the flashing lights on a Christmas tree, but in the dark. So, you know, when the lights are off in a room, but the Christmas tree's lights are on, so they're flashing and it just has this eerie glow. And they're those Christmas tree baubles that are sort of shaped like an eight-sided star. Like they have like points coming out all the different. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of those, which again, give like, of all the Christmas tree baubles, give a menacing edge, which I think is really well done. We now cut to an old-timey bath. And by that, I mean a bath with the feet. And I don't think this is TMI, but I'm like, I'm a big fan of baths. I have been since I'm a kid. I don't like those old-timey baths. I like to feel enclosed. I like them to be like...
Oh, I feel like usually the old-timey ones are desirable.
I love a clawfoot tub. Ooh, let me get in that tub.
But they are spooky in this. I'll give you that.
Well, I mean, you're right. They're the spookier version. Yeah, anyway, so definitely. this bath is full. The taps are on. It's overflowing, but there's no one in the bath. We then have a shot going down the stairs. I think you call that a tracking shot, where the camera sort of, I don't know. But basically, with the camera, it follows water trickling down the stairs until they eventually reach the foot of a person. Now, this is a horror movie trope we've talked about before, which is actually kind of fucked, where it's like an old naked woman is like the scariest thing possible.
Right.
And basically,
I can see why that would be very scary for you.
but it is. Think about like The Shining, for example, where we think Jack Nicholson's with a sexy woman, but it's actually an old
woman. It's an old hag?
Disgusting. The female body is only good when it's young.
Well, recent Too Scary Didn't Watch Ep of The Witch, which had arguably the sexiest horror movie character of all time, being Finchie from The Office.
The old witch, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know I love him.
Yeah. Sammy's future husband, Finchie. but the sort of the old witch in the woods of like, ugh, not a disgusting old witch.
Yes.
How about a sexy young witch?
Maybe I'm being positive, but part of me thinks that it's the age part of it and less the sexist part. I think it's both. I mean, I think there is a sexism to that, but I think it's also just like getting old
scares
everybody. And then probably, undercut with like some sexism of like, but old women are scarier than old men.
But actually, that is a really good point. That is a really good point. It's not shown as much, but if you had an old naked man doing the same thing, it would still be the same thing. Although I don't think it would be the horror signifier this is. Because basically we have this old naked woman looking at this Christmas tree in the dark, water around her feet, and then we go to the titles and it's Relic. Now, what I think is interesting about this...
Wait,
oh, sorry,
one thing happens there that you skipped. There is a figure of another person in the room with her. We get like, you didn't even see it, right? It's subtle.
I didn't even see that.
It's throughout the movie. It almost looks like kind of the like stereotypical alien, like the long, like too thin of limbs and kind of a big head. And it's just standing in the corner of the frame by the Christmas tree. So she's like facing it.
Oh no.
And it's very scary.
This is my favorite movie already.
So I have some friends who listen to Spooko, or at least have tried to listen to Spooko because they're in Peach's camp, and they've sort of said we had to turn off during certain episodes because it was too scary. For me, I legit got chills hearing you say that, Sammy.
That's very freaky.
This figure reappears often, and I'd say for me it was the scariest part of the movie. I don't like a figure. I don't like a mystery
like figure.
But you guys have made a very good point as well about being spooked around the house. There's something profound about that. Like, you know, going to the circus and being scared there, or going to its underground lair and being scared there, or going to a different house is one thing. But like being in your own home or hiding under your own covers or it could be just around the corner there is a real different sort of spook out.
Yep.
I think so. So then after the titles, we have that classic, you know, speaking of The Shining, we have that classic overhead shot of like a pine forest and a car driving through it. We see the mum and the daughter. And through this, there's basically three characters in this film. Mm-hmm. There's a grandma, there's a mum and a daughter in the same family. So three generations of a family. And so I'll just refer to them as that. The mum is Emily Mortimer. The daughter is, I think we said Bella Heathcote. Bella Heathcote
of
is the daughter.
Of 50 Shades of Grey fame.
No, really?
I have 50 Shades Freed, I believe, the third one. I've seen all three.
They're not always Dakota Johnson?
I mean, Dakota Johnson is in all of them, yes, but she is a side character in 50 Shades Freed.
Your eyebrows are telling a story about what that side character might be.
I have expressive eyebrows.
Yeah, well done.
Peach made a really good point. Like, the coolest thing, well, like, one of the added benefits of having to wear masks outside is the people who have expressive eyebrows all of a sudden now have this like
it's our time,
you know,
to shine.
Yeah, exactly.
We're on. It's good.
I would say 90% of horror films start the way that this film's about to start, with a family arriving at a scary, secluded house in the middle of the woods.
Yes.
Preach.
So while they're in the car, they mentioned that grandma's gone missing, and no one knows where she's been. Throughout the film, there's always this element of, and it'll keep coming up, but there's this element that there's no foul play. Grandma's just getting a bit senile, and this is what she does. She just sort of wanders off. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so mum and daughter go into the house. They start exploring. We discover that grandma has a spooky pastime, which is making candles.
I hate that. Even in the trailer, when it showed that close-up of her cutting the candle, jumped at it because it just looks scary and
yeah, it's
gross.
It's not appealing.
Especially because it's kind of flesh-colored, too, the ones that she chooses. So it looks like carving into flesh. It's very unsettling.
And also, in the film The Invisible Man, they do a really good job of foreshadowing props that would be needed in the end of the film. And I think mm-hmm. they do a good job of having a reason for there to be heaps of candles in the house later on.
Right.
So obviously we will get to that at some point. There's this other shot. Sammy, I don't know how you felt about this. That just seemed a bit gratuitous, where we cut to like a rotting fruit plate with just heaps of like rotting apples and stuff.
Unnecessary. We get it.
Subtext with a capital S.
We get it. Everything dies.
But this is the horror film foreshadowing, isn't it? Like, this is saying, like, guys, don't forget you're watching a spooky film. We just ran into the deer who ran across the road and we got a bit shocked. It's spooky.
That is a really good point. And I didn't realize this because you're right. Like, a horror film has to, ration out the scares so you don't get overdone by the end. But at the same time, you can't go too long without a spook, or you just go, oh, well, we're not a horror film anymore, and you get out of that mindset.
Yeah.
So that's what they had to reach for with, mum being dis- Anyway, so they go upstairs. They're about to go into grandma's bedroom. Mum goes, wait out here to the daughter. She goes in. She sees a mound under the covers looking like a figure. We think maybe grandma's dead. We pull up the covers and there's no grandma. There's no one in the bedroom. The bedroom's also empty.
Are we about halfway through? How far?
We're like 5 minutes into this. So at this point, sorry, this is like a proper, this is not Wikipedia. So mum goes to a police station to report that grandma's missing. They have that classic, missing persons interview that you've heard in every single film ever made. But there's a very pointed bit of dialogue, which I wrote word for word, when she says, look, she's in her 80s. She forgets things. She managed to flood the house last Christmas. So straight away we go, oh, okay, well,
that was a flashback.
That was a flashback from last Christmas.
Got it.
So the police officer says, when was the last time you spoke to her? And she admits that it's been a while because, she says life gets in the way, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, daughter is still at the house, continues to explore the house and finds this like hidden closet full of junk. Now, what's interesting about this, and we'll go back to this closet more and more, it's a little bit Mary Poppins-ish in that it doesn't feel like it feels like it's too big to be a closet and to fit into the layout of this house. But no one says it. Like, it's not, they don't make a big deal about it. It's just like the daughter finds this place and she's like, no, this is a bit too scary and I'm going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
That night, daughter reveals to mum that she lost her job, dropped out of uni, is working at a bar, and the mum is super disappointed. And, like, to be honest, their relationship isn't that important, but I just put that in for flavor.
Shag, don't backtrack on your notes. Now you're doing well. We support you.
There's a really nice moment where the mum just kind of thinks, have I been a bad daughter? And then the daughter says to the mum, no, this is exactly what you should be doing. You're here. You're looking for mum. You're trying to help. You're doing the right thing.
Nice.
That night, while everyone's asleep, mum gets up and she sees what she thinks is something spooky. She sees kind of a figure in the front lawn. And Sammy, that's such a good point because you're right. All through the film, they do a very good job of having, and I don't know if it's the budget of the film, but it works. They have just the most fleeting, a couple of frames of the shadow or the outline of a figure.
Yeah.
All right, so cut to the next day. It's that shot from the trailer. We see a police search through the brush, but they uncover nothing. Later that night, The daughter is smoking on the balcony. Now, she's visited by a teenager who's got Downs, and he's revealed to be 18 because he's like, can I have a smoke? And the daughter's like very, you know, classic sort of exposition dialogue. She's like, you want a smoke? Wow, 18 already. Haven't you grown? You know, like makes a very good point to see that she's been there for his sort of like adolescence.
Right.
Now, she sort of says, hey, do you want to come in? You know, we've got some coffee or whatever. And he says he doesn't explain fully, but he's like, no, I'm not allowed to come over to this house anymore. And then leaves in a little bit of a shadow of something a bit ominous, but we don't know why. So later that night, there's a moment where mum is playing the piano or maybe the daughter's playing the piano, but they both talk about how like the grandma taught them both how to play this upright piano. And the mum reveals that a couple of weeks ago, grandma called her to say she thought someone was coming into the house. Mm. And the daughter is a bit like, what the fuck? Grandma's gone missing and you haven't revealed that. And the mum's just like, you know how grandma's like. She obviously imagined it. This is obviously just dementia. Like, again, this is one of those moments where they really hammer it home.
I thought, look, so long as we're like going in on gender, I would have hoped that gaslighting would not be a theme in a film written and directed by a woman and starring exclusively women in an FW by W creation. Is gaslighting a horror necessity? Does someone need to be saying someone else is crazy?
The thing about gaslighting in all its forms is that it makes you think you're the crazy. Like, the longer people don't believe you, the more you think you could be wrong about what you know to be true. So it does feel like it's inextricably linked to horror because the scariest thing is you not knowing what's true. Like, it's one thing if someone doesn't believe you. It's another thing entirely if you're like, am I crazy? Like, and that's like what gaslighting does to you. So it's sort of,
I think it
necessary.
Does happen a lot also because you like don't want to believe it. So there's that part too, where you're trying to convince yourself that maybe you're imagining it because the thing being real is scary. And maybe the people around you feeling the same way. So I can see how it would kind of be realistic in any horror, well, not any horror movie, but in most horror movies. Cause I feel like a lot of like, it's the, to some extent, the rational mind being like, no, no, no.
It's got to be this other thing. Yeah.
Yeah, my husband must be right.
How many people have somebody else like wandering through their house? It's probably this other thing that we know to be true, which is that you have dementia or whatever.
So now this is the moment where, like, up until this moment in this film, we've effectively been gaslighted into thinking this is probably actually about dementia. We were idiots for thinking, like, I know they said it was a horror film, but maybe it's just a psychological film. At this point, they hear this giant thud in the wall in the room they're in. And the thud seems to be coming from behind the wall, like within the wall, right? Now, the wall isn't thick enough to really house room for anything to be there. So it's this kind of scary moment. And there's also, I guess there's kind of like almost like a scratching sound as well. Mm-hmm. And it's clearly coming from this wall. And both the daughter and the mum can hear it. And it's at this point, they notice a kind of growing black moldy sort of mark on the wall as well.
Oh, sick.
Not a good sign.
Now, this is a really important thing to know because that growing black mold appears quite a bit in this film.
Yeah.
And anytime, like, there'll be, I'll probably skip over it, but there'll be, just know that it's there and it's around in this house. Anyway, later that night, mum's asleep again. We there's a lot of parts in this film. I think they overuse cutting to mum at night as a device to be like, things are happening.
I agree.
We're moving forward. It's another night.
Sammy's a professional editor, so Sammy's view on this, Shag, the fact she accords with yours is high praise. SammySmart.com.
It's true.
Matreon.com/TooScaredToDie. Patreon.com.
Yeah, don't go to Matreon.com. It won't work.
It won't work. It will not take you there.
So later that night, mum has a dream about an old, decrepit body in a log cabin. Again, I think this is it. This is another interesting thing about Relic, where a lot of I think films shot in Australia, aiming for a, I guess, international audience, try not to look very Australian. So this log cabin that exists in this film, now this film is set in, you know, the Victorian countryside, which is outside the city of Melbourne. And I don't think there's a log cabin or even a house that this film's in, but a log cabin like that anywhere in Australia. It's a very American frontier sort of looking log cabin. But anyway, so the mum has a dream about this log cabin and an old body that's sort of rotting, the clearly dead, or maybe not dead, but sort of rotting. And then the sort of, even though it's her dream, the body sort of looks at us, the camera. And then that's the end of the
trip. It whispers, it's about dementia.
So in the morning, mum's up early. She goes into the kitchen and lo and behold, there's grandma just making a cup of tea. We hear like there's the sound design, I think, is really good because you hear the kettle whistling. And that whistling kind of, you know, is the sound of all of us being like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it's the tension building up. And mum's like, what the fuck? And I think it's one of those classic moments where grandma's like, would you like some tea? Or like, it's, I can't remember what she said.
That is what she says. It's in the trailer. She says, tea. But she's like barefoot and dirty. And looks like she's been outside for a while.
But she's acting like it's totally normal.
Yes. So,
like only Robin Niven can. This is awesome. Yes. She's a fucking national treasure.
Yeah, I don't think this film had like a huge budget. I think she's supposed to look bruised, but it looks like she's just got like heavy, like, you know, there's gray streaks on her legs and arms.
Yeah.
So we then cut to the doctor examining her and she's like a whole different person. Like she's got her hair tied back. She's wearing a very sort of, who's that Australian guy that died from a stingray?
Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin. She's wearing like, well, no, because she's wearing like a khaki shirt and like she looks like a member of the Irwin family who's she's out to like check on the animals in the zoo. Like that's the vibe she's got. Like,
congrats to Bindi, by the way, who I believe is pregnant.
Oh, congrats, I mean, Bindi.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. They are our royal family.
Can't believe you forgot their names.
So it's terrible. I know. Fuck. Surely in your life, you've had those moments where you've been to a family get together and you've forgotten like a cousin's name.
I one time forgot my roommate's name while I lived with her.
That's awesome. That's so good.
It was Jenna. It was Silent Jenna.
I was not offended, Sammy. Like, I got it. We did the like, hey,
Silent Jenna's here.
How dare you talk about Silent Jenna's.
I told you I'm here. I'm on the mic now to defend myself.
So the grandma's just like, look, I'm fine. Why are you all fussing over me? But the doctor sort of says, I think you need people staying with you for the next couple of days, to which, you know, mum and daughter agree that they're going to stay. Mum tries to confront grandma where she was, and grandma just simply says, I suppose I went out, and won't say any more, and continues to deflect and changes the subject and won't reveal where she disappeared to for days/weeks on end.
Grandma.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Now, at this point, I know the film tried to make us be like, oh, by the way, this is about more than dementia. At this point, we notice that all around the house, grandma's been leaving herself heartbreaking little notes, little post-its that say things like, don't forget to flush, you know, close drawers when you're done, taps need to be turned off. Like, aww. You know, little... It's actually like, I feel like, and Sammy, I don't know if you felt the same way, but there were definitely moments in this film where, as well as my fear strings, my heartstrings were tugged.
Yes, of course. Dementia's sad.
It's really sad and really scary.
Okay, so we see grandma, like we cut to a scene with grandma by herself looking in the mirror, like a very spooky scene. Grandma, like long hair down, you know, slowly brushing through her hair, wearing like an old timey, you know, nightgown.
A nasty nightgown.
Would we call it nasty?
We would.
Bingo.
We absolutely would. Mark your bingos, nasty nightgown.
So what's a nasty nightgown?
We first noticed them in The Conjuring. It's just those creepy nightgowns that people only wear in horror films.
Yeah. Patreon.com/too scary didn't watch to get your bingos.
Get your bingo cards.
So grandma's brushing her hair in a nasty nightgown. She's looking in the mirror and she slowly opens the chest of it to reveal that black mold that we saw in the wall seems to be growing on her chest as well.
Yes.
And
sick. Okay.
She, and I hate to use this term, but I feel like it's the only way to describe it. She sort of starts to gently finger her like mold region.
Ew.
Like ever so.
Yeah. It's true. It's what she does.
And I think you guys made a really good point. I think Em, you made a good point. The sound effects are very tactile. Ugh. Like whenever anybody touches the skin mold, we hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like
sound design in this movie is great.
Yuck.
It's sort of gooey, but also a bit like flack. Like, I don't know if you've heard the new Megan Thee Stallion song, and it, like at the end she's like whap whap whap. It's like
that's a more disturbing fingering than that cabin fever moment, I think. Oh, maybe no. Ooh, maybe cabin fever.
Let's not talk about cabin fever, my God. Now, at this point, classic horror movie moment. She's surprised by the granddaughter who comes in. She quickly, does up her blouse so the granddaughter can't see the mold area. They have a bit of a talk, and then the grandma bequeaths the granddaughter her wedding or engagement ring. It's some sort of special ring. The daughter makes a point by being like, shouldn't this be something going to mum? And then the grandma makes a pretty sly remark being like, oh, well, mum had her shot and it didn't work out, did it? So now you can have it. Basically like paying out the mum for getting divorced.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Bequeath only happens in your will. So it's got to be out.
Sorry. but I was close, right?
Yeah, man. Give. Like, give was the word you're after.
give.
All right. Okay. So meanwhile, going from room to room, granddaughter now wearing grandma's ring, goes in to check on her mum, and her mum is doing another. I think this isn't just horror movies, but it happens a lot in horror movies. The mum is just wistfully looking through a book of old drawings that I assume that the grandma did at some point. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the images from the book is the scary log cabin from her dream.
Spooky drawing, Marky Bingos.
For real.
The daughter's like, what's the deal with that creepy log cabin? To which the mum reveals that's where her grandfather, so grandma's father, lived on the property by himself. And apparently he went mad and died there. And she then says, probably the most important line in the film, I don't think he was cared for like he should have been. At this point as well, she reveals that elements of that old log cabin that was torn down were used to build the house that they're in right now. And remember, the log cabin was where he went mad and died by himself alone, not cared for, probably going through dementia himself.
And she says, it's a little bit like what dementia's like.
All right. So once again, we cut to mum at night. She wakes up to a noise, heads downstairs to see grandma talking to something in the dark. Now, at this point, we do see a figure. There's something there.
Mm-hmm.
When confronted, grandma sort of does this really scary thing where, honestly, Sammy, did you think we were looking at grandma from behind until
she raised
her hair up? Oh, my
God, yes, I forgot about this part. Yes, yes, it looks like she's coming up behind her and she says, Grandma? And grandma parts the hair that you think is the back of her head, and she's just standing in a way that she's actually already facing her and just was holding.
It's like that TikTok prank.
I didn't know the TikTok
thing. People stand, they put a hoodie on and put it over their face. People think that they're, and then they put it down and they scare people.
Yeah, she started this. She started it.
It started with this old lady. What a prankster.
Oh, Robin Niven, the original prankster. I love it.
She's the original.
Huge. She's huge. Follow her on prankster. TikTok, guys. She's huge.
Oh, she's huge. Ooh, that's very scary. That's very unsettling.
So when they go upstairs, there's a weird sound under the bed and grandma says, it's here under the bed, which is like the first time when we're like, oh, okay, so fuck, there's actually potentially
I think this is the most
here,
scared
right?
that I was. I was very scared in this scene.
it's in the trailer as well, right? Like there's a really great moment of her looking under the bed. And again, you think you can see something under there.
It looks like an alien laying on its back, breathing. It looks like a chest rising and falling with breath.
Now,
but you can't.
Oh
you
my
can't.
God. I'm just hearing that.
Fucking hell. But you're not sure. You're not sure.
You're not sure. And at this point, Grandma like stomps like through the bed, her leg, obviously to stop something, hits Mum on the head. Mum's like, you did that on purpose. And Grandma's like, did what on purpose? And then we flip back to the thing of being like, oh, okay, there was nothing under the bed. Grandma's just going a bit crazy. Because it is a bit weird that just as the mum's about to see something, Grandma stops her by like hitting her on the head.
Right.
And, you know, causing Mum to bleed. Mm. All right. So anyway, Mum then travels to Melbourne. She's crying on the way because she visits the most depressing retirement home.
It's
I've
so
ever
sad.
Seen
They're like,
life.
It has an ocean view, and she looks out the window, and it's like buildings and buildings, and like between the buildings, there's a little hint of ocean. It's so sad.
And there's like a moment where we walk past an old man, you know, using an A-frame, just sort of staring at nothing. And you just kind of think, if you were doing a walkthrough of a retirement home, that wouldn't be, you know, the first thing you'd walk past. Yeah.
Keep right. the crazy ones in their room, guys. We've got new people coming yeah. through.
We're showing the property today.
Meanwhile, while Mum is out, like, looking at this retirement home with the idea that she's going to try and put her mum in it, the daughter's talking to the grandma. Grandma notices daughter wearing the ring she gave him, and accuses her of stealing it, which again is another moment where it's like, oh, well, clearly it's dementia. It's not like, because the grandma's going crazy.
But she tries to like snatch it back off her finger in a very aggressive way that hurts her. She like grabs it and like bends her finger, and it's almost like she's going to break her finger to get this ring back. It's like, it's not just dementia, but it's also like, oh, I'm a little scared of her because she's unpredictable.
Yeah.
Sick.
So that night as well, the daughter finds the grandma looking into the weird storage room from the very beginning of the film. Mm. And grandma says, I thought this is where it got in, about the room. So there's another scene where they're all in bed. The daughter wakes up this time to a banging. She finds that the washing machine is on with nothing inside. Sick. Mum has another dream about the cabin. This time we go a bit closer to the grandfather who's shriveled up on the ground, and once again he looks at us in a really scary way.
Sick.
In the morning, daughter finds grandma in her room talking to someone again. At this moment, when grandma notices daughter comes in, she goes insane. And to Sammy's point again, this is when we start being a bit threatened by grandma, because she starts just like breaking shit and thrashing around and throwing stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's very violent. It's very loud. This is a very quiet film.
Right.
And it's a very loud scene. So at this point, daughter's like, okay, something's going on. I wonder what happened with the neighbor, if you remember the neighbor. So she goes next door to investigate why the neighbor wasn't allowed to come back. And this was a pretty heartbreaking scene. So she talks to the dad of the boy, and it turns out they played a game of hide and seek. The boy hid in a cupboard. The grandma must have forgotten about him. So the dad comes along a couple of hours later and it says, have you seen my son? Grandma's like, sorry, I haven't seen him. But the father can hear this son screaming upstairs with the grandma seemingly oblivious. They open the door. The boy is crying and distraught, and he's got like paint up his fingernails from trying to claw his way out of being locked inside this cabin. It's
so upsetting.
It's just a really sad moment.
Oh,
and there's like
God.
there's this great moment when the daughter tries to apologize. She goes, oh, I'm really sorry for that to the dad. And the dad just goes, oh, and back to that Australian lesson. But the dad's just like, yeah. And just said, he doesn't say, don't worry about it. He doesn't say anything. He just goes, yeah. As in like, yeah, that was fucked up. And like, that wasn't right. And an apology
right.
isn't enough.
Like, you should be sorry. Mm-hmm.
Mm. So while this is happening, Mum sees the grandma go into the forest. And when she follows her out there, discovers her eating photos from a photo album.
Sick.
So literally opening a photo album, grabbing the photos and eating them.
It's about dementia.
Literally destroying memories. Like there's no metaphor there. It's like I'm literally consuming memories.
Well, wait. If you thought that was an allegory. So they have a bit of an altercation, but when they sort of make up, Mum says she's trying to get rid of elements of herself because it has been waiting for her till she's weak enough. The mum says, I'm sorry, I'm here to help, invites her to come stay with her in Melbourne. They both apologize. They have a really sweet makeup moment. And after like the threatening behavior, it is actually a moment where we think we've turned a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is maybe the scariest moment for me in the film, where meanwhile the daughter's gone back into that weird cupboard, and she notices beyond the cupboard there's like another room behind it. And again, this room shouldn't exist. There's no room for this extra room in this cupboard.
Doesn't make
sense. And you notice, and I had to rewind this shot like three times, there is maybe three frames of the slightest hint of a figure walking
past.
Oh,
see, I think I missed it that time. See, it's subtle. It's sprinkled throughout, though. I mean, it's in it start to finish. It's in that first scene, and it's in the whole film.
It's like Where's Wally? Or Where's Waldo for Too Scary Didn't Watch.
But I kind of love the fact that you have to connect with someone else who saw it to like piece together all the times this allegory for dementia shows up in the film.
Just lurking in the shadows.
Okay, so the daughter follows that figure into this weird part of the house, and at this point she gets lost. And there's this moment where she goes, no, this is too scary. Turns around to leave. It's too scary, didn't go. didn't follow this figure. But she turns around and she realizes she's basically in this like psychological prison, or, you know, a real prison where behind her is not what was behind her anymore.
Changed.
And it's just more, it's just more spooky hallway that she can't get out of. And now she's trapped inside the house. So this is the daughter and she's starting to freak out.
Like a maze type thing. Like she cannot find her way out.
Oh, no.
So they go back in the house and grandma they're having a meal and it's okay. But then grandma turns again. She freaks out. She stands up and very conspicuously just like wheeze on the ground. To which I understand, but you know, as a mother shouldn't get disgusted, but the mom's basically like, mom. And is like, hey, you know, you shouldn't be weeing on the ground.
Right.
Takes her upstairs, runs her an old timey bath. Goes downstairs and starts mopping up. So meanwhile, we cut back to the daughter who's found a whole bunch of other post-its in this weird inner house, inside the house hallway. And these post-its are a lot scarier than the other post-its. They say things like, where are you? And it's here, written in very shaky handwriting.
So we're kind of thinking maybe this is where she was while she was missing, or I was at least. I was like, this could be why they couldn't find her.
This is the thought. So it's like grandma actually wasn't making it up. It wasn't dementia. She actually got caught inside this weird haunted house. Meanwhile, mum's like, it's been a while since grandma's done anything. So she goes up and knocks on the bathroom door. It's locked. So she looks through the window up top and she sees grandma gently stabbing her wound with a knife. I don't know where grandma got it, but she's sort of gently picking at the sort of moldy wound on her chest with a knife. Sound effects.
Sound effects are bad.
Look, I know that this movie is going to be bigger than this, but this woman should not become her mother's caretaker. She let her go sit in a bath unattended and lock the door. She is not going to be a good caretaker.
So she screams for grandma to open the door. Grandma does, calmly appears dressed in her nightgown and sort of walks past. Mum's like, what the hell? Looks in, sees the bath is overflowing, runs to turn it off, but not before the bath water hits a heater in the room, tripping the circuits in the house, lights in the whole house go out.
Power outage, mark your bingos.
Hey.
Now remember, grandma loves candles.
Grandma loves candles.
Lucky there's heaps of candles in the house.
This is like Signs when all the cups of water are everywhere.
Oh my god, it is. In fact, the way that the aliens appeared in Signs in those scary scenes
similar.
Is not dissimilar
to
this.
Agreed.
So she goes downstairs with one of grandma's candles. Grandma right now is breaking picture frames and throwing furniture around. She follows grandma, and grandma goes up into the scary room as well. And she also follows grandma into this scary room.
So we've all entered the weird mazy zone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, shit.
But she loses grandma, right? So she's chasing grandma. Grandma gets away. So now mum's lost, daughter's lost, and we don't know where grandma is. Until mum finds grandma. Now, this is probably the spookiest looking scene in the film. She finds grandma, who has now, like, like a skin opened hole in her cheek, and she's just jabbing at it with the knife, just just picking at her cheek. Mum at this point is like, okay, this isn't cool. Like again, a good caretaker would sort of say, what's going on?
Hey man, this isn't cool.
Mum just runs. Grandma gets up to run. Her leg, like we see the bone come out of the leg. One of her legs breaks.
Nasty, nasty, nasty.
And gives chase. So the grandma starts chasing the mum through these very tight corridors between the walls.
We've seen with the daughter, as she's been getting lost in there, it's almost as if the walls are closing in. Like it's getting, the space is getting smaller and smaller.
It's almost like that's a metaphor as well.
It could be. It might be about dementia, this part.
We then cut to the daughter, who has found an old pipe, and she's starting to smash her way through the wall into the wall from the early parts of the film where they heard that thud. Remember at the start where they heard that thud? And she's breaking through it with a pipe, and she reaches her hand out, and we see the daughter's about to get out. So mum finds her, and they're like, we need to get out. Let's make this hole bigger. At this point, the grandma comes around, and the grandma's sort of become this scary sort of monsterish sort of thing, you know, like long fingers, scary skin, bones coming out everywhere, skin peeling
Classic
off.
Classic dementia.
So they're like, quick, we've got to get out. The daughter gets out first. Then she tries to pull the mum out. And again, classic horror scene where the mum is halfway out and then she's ripped back in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the daughter's like, no, we've got to get you out. So she pulls the mum out, at which point grandma follows afterwards. And like grandma is fully monster now. Like she is more monster than human.
Right.
And grandma goes to attack the daughter, where at this point mum picks up the lead pipe or metal pipe or whatever it is, and smacks grandma on the back of the head. Grandma falls to the ground. There's a moment of silence as daughter and mum sort of, you know, survey the carnage that has just happened. Now grandma's still alive, but she's sort of just breathing, and mum and daughter, I just have a moment of just pure shock, which, like, I know we pay it out in horror films, but I think you would actually pause for a second to just try and work out what the fuck just happened. So daughter's like, we have to get out of here. And she's the one that snapped, you know, back to reality first and sort of pulls the mum out. But as they're leaving, now this is where the movie turns and becomes something that I wasn't expecting and became something that I thought was worth recapping in this podcast. Mm-hmm. Mum looks to grandma. Grandma's still alive, but just sort of has this look on her face like she doesn't know where she is. Has this just very calm, serene look like she's just a bit confused, even though she is this kind of monster with like skin going everywhere and blood and, you know, crazy fingers and things. And then mum, oh my God. Okay. Like I tear up thinking about this. Mum notices a post-it on the ground that says, remember, you are loved.
Oh, I just got goosebumps.
So the daughter's like, daughter's still in like end of horror movie mode. And she's like, come on, mum, let's go. Daughter goes outside. Mum then closes the door on the daughter, locks the door. The daughter's like, what are you doing? Mum says, I can't leave her. Walks back to grandma, picks her up in, I mean, we talked about, Top Gun before. I think there's a moment in Top Gun there's a moment in a film where, like, you know, the leading man holds the leading woman, like, in this, like, very, like, loving sort of, like, holding her up. And this is what the mum does. So she picks up the grandma and slowly walks her upstairs and sits her on the bed. Now, this is where and, like, Sammy, you know, please fill in where I'm not describing this correctly.
You got it. Keep going. So, I'm on the edge of my seat.
So mum at this point starts to complete the job grandma started of pulling off her skin. So she starts to gingerly and very tenderly.
Like lovingly.
Like so lovingly. And the camera work is loving. And the way they do it, it doesn't really come across as a creepy scene. This comes across as a beautiful scene. This is why it's so confusing.
Bizarre and beautiful.
It is so beautiful. So she's pulling the skin off her grandma to reveal underneath, and I know this sounds like blackface, it's not blackface, essentially a grey-black babyish alien. No skin, no hair, just a skinless, completely dark, you know, humanoid alien that is just sitting on the bed with this motionless, emotionless expression.
It's almost like a mummified corpse looking thing, I'd say.
Yeah, you're right. It looks mummified, but it's absolutely alive. My partner Adele Cupley, she's been on the podcast before, has this term that I think is really funny that came up out of a joke where you know how sometimes you call your pet your fur baby, like we have a dog and it's a fur baby, and then somebody was like, well, what does that make a human? And she's like, oh, well, that's easy. It's a skin baby.
Oh my god, I saw that somewhere on Twitter. Somehow this has made its way back to me. I saw someone post that on Twitter calling someone a baby a skin baby, and they were like, I just don't want to have to carry this knowledge alone.
And I think the thing is, it's like, I can't think of a better term for what the mum becomes at the end of this film, which is basically a skin baby. So at this point, mum sort of tenderly lays down the skin baby on the bed and lies down behind her. At this point, the daughter has broken into the house, is like, what the fuck? But then sees what's happening and then lays down on the bed behind the mum. So it's the three generations of the family just having a really nice moment on the bed. And then there's a moment where the daughter notices the black mold growing on the mum's back. And then that's the end of the film.
A metaphor for dementia.
Death comes for us all.
It'll come for us all. Ooh, okay. It's so interesting. Even in your retelling it like feels like it was like two different movies almost.
It feels like two different movies. Sammy, it really was the whiplash you feel with the change of tone at that end is amazing. And yet it feels natural when you're watching it, I think.
Yeah. There's something about it is very satisfying from a character perspective, where I think earlier in the movie she's kind of trying to pawn off her mom at this retirement home, and it just very much like brings it home of like the most intimate thing she could be doing is literally like helping her peelers. And I know it sounds disgusting and gross, but it is this kind of like,
well, it's like an acceptance.
It's presented in like a caretaking way, and it's like, I'm here with you. I have you. Nothing about you is gross. Nothing about you is gross to me. And I'm like here for whatever you need. And so it was a very beautiful conclusion to that character's arc. But one that I absolutely did not see coming. If you asked me, how's this movie going to end? I wouldn't have said daughter pulling off her mom's skin and then cuddling her in bed.
Yep. Feels like a surprise.
And I think that's what's amazing about it too, is because when you retell it, it sounds like a joke. When you retell it, it's like, oh, lol, I can't believe that happens. But watching it, it's the most beautiful moment I've seen in a film.
It was very touching.
Oh, I love that.
I think it was, I liked this movie. And I liked it more at the end. I'm glad you suggested it.
It's also great to get a new release.
Great to get a new release in 2020. They're few and far between. We've said
they're
it before.
They're few and far between.
Emily Mortimer's accent. Maybe it leaves something to be desired, but overall she was good.
Yeah, not as good as our accents, but we'll let her do her thing.
I would say your accents are better than Emily Mortimer's, which I think is like a pretty cool thing to have.
That's pretty cool.
Well, I'm out of practice with my accent, but I will say that the reason my accent got good is because one time I was driving home to Los Angeles from San Francisco, and on the 7-hour drive, I just spoke to myself out loud in an Australian accent nonstop like a crazy person.
No, what? Why didn't this come up earlier? What the hell?
I was too on the spot. I froze. And could only focus on my impression.
What were you talking about for 7 hours in your Australian accent?
I'm very
accent.
Good at talking to myself. I don't know. I could not tell you. But I can. I have a lot to say. And I said it for 7 hours straight.
Oh, my God. Well, look, guys, thank you. This has been an extremely long episode of Spooko. I imagine a pretty long episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. Guys, it was such a pleasure. to have you on the show slash be on your show.
To be the guest and the host. What a dream.
The guest and the host. we lost Peach just minutes ago. He had to be a responsible adult and tend to his life. But boy, I mean, what a treat it was to chat with you both again.
This was great. And I guess, can we do an Australian accent goodbye?
Yeah. Okay. So from all of us here at
Too Scary,
going Too Scary Didn't Watch.
Goodbye. Oh my God, it was so bad. Oh, excellent.
Take that, Emily Mortimer. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch with our dear guests at Spooko. If you are liking the show, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, rate and review. You can follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Stardust. Become a patron on Patreon for other fun content and updates from us. We will be back here next week with our dear Henley back in the saddle all the way from New York City. We are going to be doing Hellraiser. If you would like to watch before next week, I hear it's a doozy. So get ready and we will see you then. We love you so much. Goodbye.